Talking now with J.D. Strong from, of course, the Oklahoma Water Resources Board. J.D., let's talk a little bit about the Oklahoma Water Plan. And today you were talking about trying to take care of water needs and that dream out all the way to 2060 that we've got right now. Where are we really in this process? We've been talking about water planning for a long, long time.
Sure, and we've been doing water planning for a long, long time. This is actually the third water planning exercise that the state has gone through. But this has been a five-year-long process. $11, $12 million went into the process, the most robust plan ever developed by the state. But certainly you can't drink a plan. And so now that the plan is done, it's important for us to transition into implementation. We're not going to achieve that goal of making sure we have reliable water supplies for all Oklahomans 50, 60 years from now if we don't get to work on implementing the plan. We had a very good and a successful legislative session this past session, thanks to the leadership of everybody from the speaker on down to appropriations chairs and that sort of thing. Saw several things acted upon in the comprehensive water plan. So I think we are actually well on our way to seeing a lot of the recommendations of the comprehensive water plan moved into action.
Seems like the obviously with this type of a plan and trying to put it into gear, there's so many balls to juggle, so many people wanting to make sure their water usage or how they utilize the water is protected.
No question that water forms some very strong allies, but it also forms some very strong enemies. And folks tend to coalesce around their common water uses, but we have a variety of water users across the state, whether it's for energy, oil and gas, whether it's agriculture, municipal drinking water, tourism and recreation, another big water use in the state that is often overlooked. And it's a struggle to get folks around the table to talk about how we can ensure that we meet all of those water needs with a finite amount of water that we have in the state. And it will obviously become more difficult as the state continues to grow, which we hope that it will over the next 50 to 60 years, and yet we're not making really any more water than we have today. So that stress will continue to go up, which is why it's important for us to really look out at least 50 years and be very proactive about meeting those water needs of the future, because it's much harder to address those water needs when we're in the midst of a shortage.
How much consternation does it give you and the folks, the staff that you're working with and your board and everything when we're basically in our second year of a pretty significant drought across the entire Southern Plains, including Oklahoma?
No question. It makes our lives very difficult, just as it makes the lives of the farmers and ranchers across Oklahoma very difficult to do what they do, growing crops, growing beef and livestock and that sort of thing with dwindling water supplies, and in some places, no water supply. It's definitely stressful for us at the Water Resources Board trying to make sure that we balance water needs and manage those water needs for the benefit of everyone. But at the end of the day, the one silver lining, if I dare say that, is that it does keep people focused on the importance of water and the fact that we need to make sure that we take care of these needs in the face of the worst situations and not rest on our laurels just because we've been in the best of situations really for the past 20 years.
When we start talking about some of these specific needs, I know that, obviously agriculture came to the table, you had a lot of stakeholders involved in the process. How do you see agriculture in the overall pecking order in the next 50, 60 years?
Well, agriculture will definitely be and should be a strong voice and have multiple seats at the table as we continue to hammer through these issues and implement the water plan and make sure that we take care of the long-term needs. Clearly, the second biggest industry in the state, the heritage industry in Oklahoma, and continues to be the biggest water user in Oklahoma in terms of feeding the nation and the world and doing that with the great water resources that we do have in the state. So we want to make sure that we continue to have a thriving agriculture industry in Oklahoma, take care of the needs for that industry in the future, but at the same time make sure that we help the ag industry be able to use water more efficiently, conserve water as much as possible, and use alternative sources for meeting their water needs as well to decrease, hopefully, demand for freshwater supplies as we try to grow the ag industry in Oklahoma.
One thing that you mentioned to the group here, you said there is a goal out there that some folks have articulated that we use no more fresh water 50 years from now or 2060, in that 35, 40 years from now compared to today.
Correct. One of the priority recommendations of the water plan was really to get folks focused more on using water more efficiently and conserving water. And in the ag sector, we see some of the best examples of that going on already, whether you talk about all the advances in efficiency of pivot systems up in the panhandle, the new drip systems going in, that sort of thing. But how can we help producers do more of that and use water more efficiently than they're even using it today? We assume that that will continue. We'll continue to see great advancements there. And importantly, how can we help the folks in the city use water more efficiently and conserve water on their lawns? How can we shift people from using fresh, treated drinking water to water their grass to using something that's not necessarily drinking water quality, but every bit as effective in keeping their lawns green? So those sorts of things all really fall under the gamut of this piece of legislation the legislature passed called the Water for 2060 Act, which sets this statewide goal that we try to be efficient and use less water as we go along, but continue to meet those growing demands for water through conservation, efficiency, reuse, and recycling.
I guess one of your slides toward the end of your presentation, you talked about, you know, the fact that there is continued dialogue and there's still some unknowns about how all this is going to play out between our state government and the tribes of that reside here in Oklahoma.
Correct. We, of course, are engaged in litigation with two tribes, the Chickasaws and Choctaw tribes, but there are 39 federally recognized tribes in Oklahoma, all of which settled this state before statehood and had territories and reservations to claim. Several of them, in addition to the Chickasaws and Choctaws, claim that they have rights to water within the state. The longer we continue to ignore that, the more we put at risk our ability to continue to manage the people's water with surety and with guarantees. So that sort of puts a cloud, if you will, over everybody's rights to use their water in Oklahoma. So it's critically important that we get those issues resolved. And I think we'll be very successful working together with the tribes to resolve those issues, just as we've been successful working together with them on tourism and many other business pursuits.
Last question, JD, and that has to do with the fact that, you know, the reality of eastern Oklahoma having probably some surplus water versus the central western half of the state that oftentimes goes into a deficit situation. You know, is part of the long-term conversation, at least, was how we maybe move some of that water. Do we do that, or do we sell it to Texas? You know, where does this thing go down the road?
Well, I think Texas is the least of our worries, obviously. We want to make sure that in the midst of this drought, especially, that we're meeting Oklahomans' water needs first and foremost. But it has been discussed. In fact, the 1980 Comprehensive Water Plan looked at a giant conveyance system and what it would cost. We looked at those costs updated under the current Comprehensive Water Plan. The costs are astronomical to move water from eastern Oklahoma to western Oklahoma. Not only is it a great distance, but it's mostly uphill, which is very challenging when moving water around. The more feasible options are going to be help people develop the water supplies that they have in place, to use it more efficiently, conserve water, to reuse and recycle water, not just use it one time and then discharge it down the creek. But how many times can we reuse and recycle that water? We're going to have a dairy farmer from Frederick talking at the governor's water conference in a couple of weeks, talking about the fact that every drop of water she pulls out of the lake or stream is reused 10 times before it goes back out. So those things are critically important as well, and probably much more feasible than simply trying to build giant pipelines to move water from eastern Oklahoma to western Oklahoma.